A publication switching sights from the silver to the small screen. A music-themed magazine from the city that never sleeps. And everything that's new in one of our favourite worlds, that of Zeit magazine. All ahead today on The Stack. From Midori House in London, this is The Stack, 30 minutes of print industry analysis with me, Tom Edwards. Coming up on the show, we speak with Carl Henkel from Record Culture magazine, a title that focuses on niche music communities around the world. And the team behind Empire launches a new magazine focused squarely on cinematic television. But first, let's hear from Christoph Armand, editor-in-chief of the great Zeit magazine. Their latest international edition just came out, and Christoph jumped on the line to tell me more about it.
The idea actually came from Brigitte Lacombe, a French photographer who lives in New York for over 40 years now. And I had lunch with her 5 years ago here in Berlin when she was with Scorsese at the Berlin Film Festival and, you know, said very kind things about the magazine, how much she like the design, the way we use photography and illustrations. And then she added, I wish I could read it. And so I thought, you know, maybe she's right. Maybe we could find a way of translating some of the stories that we do into English and maybe sort of re-editing them, updating them, and putting them into a magazine of its own. And so that's how the idea for the international issue came about. And we just started it as an experiment. And this experiment has been lasting for 5 years, so we're really happy about it.
It's a thing of beauty, and as you say, it helps monoglots like myself who previously had to make do merely with looking at the beautiful Christoph Niemann illustrations and wondering what the rest of it might be. Just tell me, though, the pre-roll, if you like, is the Berlin State of Mind. And I just wonder, other than just translating it, is there a different approach that you need to talk to your international audience? Or is it actually very important for you and the team that you maintain exactly the same editorial rigor as you do with the German language editions?
I think it's a sort of a crazy mix, actually, because we found out that many readers who buy the international issue are also very much interested in what's happening in Berlin, more so than in the rest of Germany, actually, which was interesting to find out when we had conversations with the readers. So we do add a Berlin city guide a couple of issues ago, which we sort of reinvent for every issue. This one is actually based on the colors of the public transport system in Berlin. So you can actually follow certain lines from the U-Bahn in Berlin, the subway, along and find out about new restaurants and stores and galleries. Berlin, and that we try to cover that. But also when we sit together and talk about which story should make it into the international issue, we're always trying to imagine the readers in London or in Paris or in New York or in Singapore and try to think of what kind of story would work with them. Either finding out what's happening in Berlin or in Germany, but also whatever we cover, sort of an international celebrity or an international story. This issue, for example, I met David Remnick, the editor of The New Yorker, a couple of weeks ago. And so we added that story into the international issue. And also the cover story is a profile on Christy Turling.
Yeah, there's a feast of wonderful stories to enjoy. David Byrne is in there as well, another one of my heroes, Christoph. It was interesting, you're talking about that sort of Berlin sensibility. And of course, you've got another magazine offer that you've been rolling out, which is the Zeit magazine city-specific local editions. Hamburg, Munich, of course, came last year. And I gather in less than 2 months, we'll have the Frankfurt edition. We obviously celebrate new print editions and we just are so in love with the fact that Zeit loves print so much. Why these ones and how does that work? And the big question, I guess, how do you choose which cities to add?
It's a good question. You can add one if you want. I mean, we're thinking about new cities all the time. Traditional city magazines are in a bit of a identical crisis because some of their business models don't work anymore. You know, you don't need a city magazine anymore to find out which movie is playing tonight or how to find a partner. You probably go online today. So that's one thing. On the other hand, I think we're also, and as you know, with Monocle, people are so much interested in their local cities because they move more often than they used to 10 or 20 years ago. But also, I think because we live in such digital times, staring at our mobile phones all the time, being connected or thinking that we're connected with the rest of the world, that I think just to know about the story about the waiter in the cafe around the corner is something that really people enjoy and sort of it roots them into their everyday life. So we started off in Hamburg with a city issue, which comes out twice a year. So if you buy Die Zeit that week, you buy one and you get three. So you get the paper, you get the usual Zeit magazine, and you also get Zeit magazine Hamburg. And that really worked well in Hamburg. So we went to Munich, and this year we're actually going to Frankfurt, which is really nice for myself because my mother lives in Frankfurt for 40 years. You know, I've been going back to the city all the time. And I think it's an interesting timing because of the Brexit, I'm afraid.
We try and avoid that where we can, Crystal, but it's very relevant. What about some kind of amazing hands across the ocean, or at least across the channel? We could have Zeit London. You'd have a nice, there's a desk waiting for you at Midori House if you'd want one.
I'd love to come by and hang out a few weeks with you. And let's do that together. That's a good plan.
Perfect. Now, obviously, we're talking on one of our programs, which we play on Monocle 24 Radio, and which is a podcast as well. And I know that you're doing an interview podcast. And I think this is alongside your colleague from Zeit Online, isn't it? Jochen. Tell us about that, because I guess it's another narrative that we're familiar with, which is about the warmth, the engaging quality of audio. Is that something you're excited about?
I'm a big fan of podcasts, and I think that basically not everyone is right now. But well, Jochen, who's the editor of Zeit Online, and myself, we've been talking about a possible concept of would there be a gap that we could add. So we came up with the idea for a interview podcast that we call Alles Gesagt, so everything said, ? And the idea is that we sit down with a famous person, or either a politician, going to talk with Robert Habeck, who's the Green Party leader here in Germany next week in Hamburg, next weekend. And so we sit down with someone like Robert Habeck or an actress or, you know, musician. And the idea of the interview is that the person who we interview can stop the interview anytime. So Robert Habeck can actually stop the interview after 20 minutes if he thinks that everything has been said. Or we just keep on talking for 2 hours or 3 hours, if he doesn't say stop, we will have a few more questions for him. So it's going to be a really exciting experiment for us, because no one knows when the interview will be finished.
I was going to say, it's incredibly brave, Christoph, because it depends how loquacious or otherwise your interviewees might be. Is there anyone that might scare you off? I guess Robert is relatively friendly, isn't he? Anyone you'd be too wary about getting into a 10-hour conversation with?
Well, you know, I'd love to have Angela Merkel on the podcast, but she's known to be really organized and quick, so I guess she would be a person who could shout out like after 50 minutes or 20 minutes. When everything's said now, I have to go back to work.
I guess she's got quite a busy in-tray, to be fair, so that would be fair enough. Christoph, I did want to ask you, it was funny, you mentioned Brexit a minute ago, and whilst we do like to strike a generally optimistic tone, it would be remiss of me not to ask you about what that might mean for the creative industries. Obviously, we look from a London-based vantage point. Do you sense an opportunity for our creative media counterparts within the bloc to exploit the uncertainty that surrounds the UK, that surrounds London at the moment? Or do you think actually that our great creative minds will still be able to engage with our friends on the continent in the same way? What's your reading of it? What's your best guess at this time?
We talk about creatives. I think we're getting closer to each other because of the Brexit. You know, getting invitations from London, from different people. People in London are so much more interested to what's happening on the continent. I think the Brexit, in a strange and surprising way, might bring you and me closer together. Now we were talking about doing Zeit London. No, really, seriously, I think there is a sort of a emotional connection, especially between London and cities like Berlin or Paris right now. And I can really feel that. So I think we can turn this sad event into a positive for us.
Thanks to Christoph Arment from Zeit magazine. The latest edition of Zeit magazine International is both excellent and available now. Speaking of right now, who's rolled into Studio One? It's only Monocle's Fernando Augusto Pacheco, the producer of The Stack. Regular listeners will know you're very interested in the world of entertainment, big screen, small screen, and you were positively thrilled this week at the news of Pilot TV on newsstands, a small screen title from our friends at Empire, of course. Tell us why you're so interested in this and why it kind of speaks to the moment maybe for TV.
I'm very excited, Tom, because I knew it was from the team behind Empire. Empire is the kind of magazine that I bought since I was a kid, in a way. So I think they have this very good legacy, in a way. And I know they start adding TV in their film coverage of the magazine, but I was like, maybe they should do a TV magazine, and they did. So it was a pleasure meeting Terry.
Well, Faye, let's have a listen to some of the words of wisdom that Terry White had to share with you when she popped in to talk to you, Fernando, a little earlier.
I actually can't believe that nobody else has thought of this yet, or if they have thought of it, got their shit together and actually done it. So it is Pilot Television. The tagline is, because you can't watch everything. And that's essentially our kind of mission statement. We are focusing on cinematic television, and by that we mean TV programmes with the scope and the scale and the budgets and the talent and the storytelling that really you used to see in just in films on the big screen. And, you know, it hasn't escaped anybody's notice that, you know, along with Sky doing incredible things in terms of bringing in HBO shows to the UK, we've had Netflix, which began as a streaming platform and is now an incredible content platform. And we were just looking at these array of shows coming like week after week after week with, you know, huge directors. You had Ridley Scott moving between film and The Man in the High Castle for Amazon. You've got Martin Scorsese making his next film with Netflix. And we were kind of thinking, how do we cover this in Empire? And then I started to think, and the management team around me, we all said, actually, this feels like a separate thing. This feels like there's an audience of people who aren't being catered for, especially in print, who really love this stuff. This isn't passive telly watching. This isn't Corrie on a Friday night. This is people who love these shows, who will happily spend 6 hours on a Saturday when they probably should be doing chores, actually just binge watching. And they take this stuff really seriously. I am the editor-in-chief of Empire as well. And for me, Empire is a celebration, a love affair with film. And it has to remain that. That's Empire through and through. And so I thought, to actually do it justice, we should do something else. And we started to talk about it, and the appetite for it kind of blew us all away, really. So we turned this around in only a couple of months. We went from just having this idea in our heads to actually, you know, I'm looking at a finished magazine in front of you right now, which seems kind of mad.
And it feels a natural progression, you know. As I said, you know, as a reader of Empire, remember when you guys introduced the television on the magazine? I have to be honest, in the beginning I was like, TV on my favorite film magazine, but then it became natural. But tell us about the plans. Do you want to do this every season, or how often will it come out?
So our ultimate aim would for it to be a monthly title. That would be my ultimate aim. We are seeing kind of how the first one goes, you know. We decided, instead of sitting in rooms with readers and market researching this for months and months and months, let's just actually put our money where our mouth is. Let's put the product out in the world and see how people feel about it. And we're going to do some focus groups, and we're doing some surveys. And what we want to know is, when do people want it? How often do they want it? We're really going to be led by the audience on this. We do currently have plans to do another issue in the autumn. But yeah, as I say, I think there could really be a potential for a monthly title here. But we really want to see what the audience think about it, what they think about the product, how often do they want it? Because this stuff isn't going away. Actually, the volume of shows is growing. And that's what we were responding to is, you know, I know that sometimes I sit there on a weekend and I look at my watch. I've got a watch list on my laptop and I'm looking at it and I have it in an order. And then somebody else will tell me about something, or I'll read something on social. And then I'm looking at my list going, oh God, where am I going to put it? And I kind of get paralysed by the overwhelming number of amazing stuff. And I think there's a huge service to be done here in terms of, we will only tell you about the good stuff. So we are not going to spend ages, you know, slagging off some show because we think it's a one star. We're going to basically sift through everything out there across all channels, all platforms, the big ones and the small ones. And we will then basically tell you what to watch and pretty much in what order you should watch it.
We need that. It's a service, because I think with cinema, it can be pretty straightforward. You know, in a weekend, okay, 2-3 films are released. But with TV, I get confused myself. You know, sometimes Netflix or those streaming services can be quite confusing, you know, if you're not an expert. So I think this magazine is necessary. Tell us about the cover story. Luke Cage.
So we are, you know, this is from the makers of Empire. It isn't a men's magazine at all, which I think sometimes people try and put entertainment magazines in gender categories. We do know that the Empire audience is 2/3 male. And so I think that's the base we were starting from, of using that audience as really going to them first and seeing what they would like. You know, Luke Cage, it's from the Marvel Universe, which is obviously Empire's kind of heartland, really. And we know that it's been really successful for Netflix. So I think it was definitely a front from the get-go. But, you know, then we thought, actually, we really want to show on the cover of this magazine that there is incredible breadth inside, and that we are for men and for women. The thing that unites our readers is definitely not their genitals. It is their passion and obsession for TV. So we've actually, and I think the cover's really interesting, because we've created a cover that nothing like it exists on the UK newsstand. I mean, my belief is it's because this market has never existed on the UK newsstand. Your TV magazines are high frequency, Radio Times and the TV listings mags, very different demographic, very different market positioning. This is brand new. We will be racked by Empire. But, you know, we have this amazing column down the left, which enables us to showcase some of the other shows that are really important to this audience. So you've got Westworld, you've got Handmaid's Tale, and then The West Wing, we've got a big oral history inside, because retro TV and the beginnings of cinematic TV is really important to this audience, who will have loved The Sopranos, who will have loved The West Wing, who will have really started to get into TV at quite an early stage. Probably before everybody else kind of went, oh, actually, great stuff is happening in telly. So we really wanted the cover to communicate that. So it's kind of got much more on it than a normal Empire cover, which is quite kind of luxurious and premium in terms of being one central image and quite, you know, brilliantly designed, but very precisely designed, with a small number of cover lines to try and really allow that image that we've usually spent a huge amount of time negotiating with film studios to kind of let that breathe. And that's what the film fan wants. They want that incredible big one image. But I feel like we've got in quite an interesting place. And as I say, Luke Cage is bang on the money. We spoke to showrunners, we spoke to Mike himself, who was lovely, who shared his love for this magazine on social, which was lovely. And we did kind of a really great in-depth job of telling the story about this new season, about where Luke Cage has been, about how the show came to be so popular. And we really want to treat TV like Empire treats film, which is, it's not throwaway, it's not disposable. We will do a 10-page West Wing feature, we will do an 8-page Luke Cage feature. We are treating these things with the kind of depth that we think they deserve.
That's how I felt, and I love the box segment as well. And there's some funny slots there. For example, the best 10 episodes of Friends, you know, like, who didn't watch Friends at the time, you know? So it's and at the end as well, there's something about the roll the credits of Desperate Housewives. It's a really interesting column as well.
Yeah. You know, we want to show the mix of this stuff. We have Friends in there, Desperate Housewives, you've got The West Wing, then you've got, you know, really upcoming new stuff that we're only just hearing about. We spoke to Daniel Brühl about The Alienist. So it kind of runs that whole gamut, because we know that these people will probably, you know, want to revisit the whole Sopranos every single season at some point, but they definitely don't want to not know about that amazing new BBC thing that if they miss it, they're going to have to go into work the next day and have zero knowledge about what everybody's talking about.
And Terry, finally, I would like to ask you about how's the Empire going? Because I know you guys, you have a fabulous monthly film magazine. Now we have Pilot TV. You also organize events. There's so much going on, you know, especially when you are in this universe. But how's it going this year so far?
I mean, it's been a busy year so far. So we, you know, we knew we were launching Pilot after Christmas, so we kind of jumped straight into it. We had the Empire Awards, which is our annual awards show. This year was probably our best ever year. Steven Spielberg attended, and we named him the legend of our lifetime, the first time he's ever been to the Empire Awards. Edgar Wright was there, Hugh Jackman. It was an insane evening. And actually, this magazine went to press 5 days after the Empire Awards. So after the Empire Awards, most times you kind of drag your ass in about 11 a.m. We were there at 9 a.m. sending pages. And Empire as a print product just is still such a huge force, both in the industry and with the audience. And I think our job is always to keep Empire really vital, embrace the legacy of Empire. We're going to be 30 in about 18 months' time, but to continue to innovate and continue to get people excited by cinema. Because I think, you know, when you do have this world of TV and this world of cinema, I think for the Empire person and for the Pilot TV person, this is a huge part of their lives. They're going to the cinema once a week, probably, and then they're also going home and watching 3 hours of amazing telly at the same time. So I'm just really chuffed we're now in a position to be able to kind of address all of that stuff, and it all comes out of the same amazing team.
And you do realise that Empire Pilot TV is not only UK, actually. It's very international. If you go to America or even to Brazil, you can, you know, find the copies, or people can follow online. Do you feel that is a very international brand?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about film especially, but increasingly TV with Netflix and platforms like that, is it's global, you know. Film isn't local. If we're excited by Avengers Infinity War, that is a global concern. You know, I go to LA quite a lot, and people always, when they find out I work for Empire, are always like, oh my God, we love Empire. I get it at Barnes & Noble every month. And TV's becoming increasingly like that. If something drops on Netflix, I know it's slightly different sometimes in territories, but they're joining those things up now so that people all over the world are experiencing the same amazing stuff at the same time. So I think, you know, if no matter where you are in the world, these brands can speak to you and can help you essentially not waste any of your precious, precious time.
That was me, Fernando, speaking to Terry White from Pilot TV and Empire.
Keeping things squarely in that sort of cultural firmament, should we talk a bit about music magazines next, Faye? And we're going to, as if we needed an excuse, head to Madrid.
Yeah, our very own Leonardo's catch up with the editor of a magazine called Record Magazine, Tom. I don't know if you've seen the title. They sell here close to us in Chiltern Street. It's a lovely kind of indie publication about the world of niche music communities. And Leon spoke to the editor in a party they've done in Madrid. So don't worry if there are a few sounds in that interview.
Well, Liam knows how to drag people off the dance floor when he needs to. So he caught up with Carl Henkel, who, of course, founded the magazine in New York back in 2016. They go on this sort of world tour when the new iterations are published. They alighted in Madrid. Liam coaxed Henkel to tell him more. And they started by talking about the title's playful approach.
All right, so I've just taken you aside from the launch for issue 4. We're in Madrid. Why are you in Madrid?
Just for a bit of fun, really. Well, actually, we've got Spanish content in this issue. We've got Suso Saiz, who's a really prolific sort of experimental musician from Spain who, you know, links up with people we've had in our past issues. It just made a lot of sense.
So, I mean, looking through the magazine, this is really kind of a like each page is a window into the world of different DJs, their relationship with music and a little bit about them. Why did you want to turn this kind of idea or these ideas into a magazine?
I think it was like a personal need above all. Like, I was following a lot of the musicians that I've ended up interviewing, and I just didn't get enough from just their releases. I wanted to see behind the curtain a bit.
The DJs or the musicians are always shot in their homes as well.
Yeah.
Why do you think that was important, not to show them kind of, or show them out of context, to show them in a more relaxed environment?
On the one hand, I think there's enough photography of like DJs in their element. It's a lot more interesting to sort of see inside someone's home life, their studio life. You're getting like cues that from like the objects they own and just their environment that you aren't otherwise. And
is it an excuse for you to sift through their vinyl collections?
Is yeah.
That why you want to shoot them in their houses?
I mean, that's one excuse, but often they're collectors of all sorts of things. You get access into someone's life that you wouldn't otherwise, and you can just be really honest in a way that maybe you couldn't have that same conversation. And
they're probably a little less guarded as well.
Yeah, they're less guarded. It's like when you go to a nightclub, you don't really, you might have some conversations with people, but they might not be super deep. When you get them during the day, it's a whole different thing. Started in my apartment in downtown New York. I'd been doing journalism for many years and like working for different websites and stuff. When one job ended, I had a bit of time to sort of think about what I would actually want to do. And if I'm not happy with the way online media is, like, what would I actually want to do?
And it was important for you to launch a print magazine rather than a website? Are you just sick of websites?
I love a lot of sites, but I don't think it would have been possible to do what I'm trying to do online. Print still has just a way of building a community around the publication and sort of the... Print has a way of building a community around the publication, what you're trying to do. Like something like tonight here in Madrid, we've got a launch party with like 50 to 100 people who have come down. I was working in websites before and I was quite detached from the people reading it, and I guess my main motivation was to like do something that was had an effect in the real world. It wasn't just digital. And by doing a print magazine, you get the opportunity to sort of do events and get like-minded people down, and you have the opportunity to have a whole range of human connection that just isn't possible online. People in Madrid are so open and friendly and just so passionate about music in a way that's different to other places I've been, like New York or Berlin or whatever. It's just nice to sort of be part of the community for a moment and hear what's going on here and just realize that these communities exist all over the world. There's maybe 1,000 people in each major city who are into the sort of music we cover, and it's really inspiring, and it grows with every issue. And we sort of, maybe the first issue was just breaking even, but as we start to grow and especially selling direct through our website, that's how it all works. It's based on sales, not advertising. So it's definitely encouraging to just see people from all around the world buying the magazine like directly through our website, and get emails all the time from people saying they love it and they're just really encouraged to see an artist they follow interviewed in depth. And one for me that's particularly stands out is actually the first one I did with Philippe Zadar. Cassius, as he's otherwise called, is a DJ and artist. I visited him at his studio in Paris, and that was the first time I got invited into someone's world. And I mean, he's in a studio in Montmartre behind several closed doors, quite literally. And it was just cool. It started everything off, and I left that conversation just in a really positive mind state, like after talking to someone who's really enthusiastic about what they do. And I've had similar conversations with, I mean, everyone in every issue. Someone like Justin Strauss in New York stands out. He's someone that's been DJing in New York since the 80s. Like, you leave a conversation like that on a high. Often it's like you're with someone who's 20 years old, but maybe they're 30, maybe they're 60. That's inspiring to meet older musicians that are still as enthusiastic as younger people.
That was Carl Henkel of Record Magazine in conversation with our own Liam Aldous, the party. I bet that was probably quite a long night, I imagine, Fernando.
Good music.
Knowing Liam as I do. And that does bring us in a celebratory style to the end of this week's edition of the programme. Thanks to you, Fernando.
You're welcome.
Producing the show. Great job as always. Thanks too to our editors, Cassie Galpin and George McDonough. Comments or queries are welcome. How do they get in touch with you, Fernando?
fp@monocle.com.
Easy. I like when you come on to read this out at the end of the show. It's good. Don't forget to join us, of course, at the same time next weekend. You can catch up as well with archive editions of the programme at the website, iTunes, etc., etc. This is A Stack. I'm Tom Edwards. Thanks for tuning in.